This CityWire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies, from healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution. Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.
And welcome to The Advice Show. From industry scoops to practice management, this podcast will give you UK and global insights into the financial planning profession. I'm Nicola, a reporter at NMA, and this week we are taking stock of the world of ESG investments and asking the question, what has happened to ESG this year? Joining the conversation today is John Dean, Head of Retirement Strategy at Altus. So hi, John, and thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Hi, Nicola. I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing well. First day of autumn, but we're still smiling.
Indeed, yeah. It doesn't feel so autumn autumnal yet, does it?
Exactly. Not quite yet, luckily. John, you've been doing a bit of work on ESG at Altus. Can you speak a bit about that first off? I know it's a subject that you're quite passionate about.
Sure, yeah. Well, as a supplier to the financial services industry, we're starting to get asked more and more these days to include ESG factors in our own contracts. Obviously, more and more of our clients are B Corps or are interested in their different levels of emissions and impact in society and globally. And so I've been doing some work with colleagues in Altus just to identify the ways in which we're aligned to the Sustainable Development Goals and generally all the good stuff that we're doing. It's these kind of things we're going to be asked more and more, and I think our clients are going to want to audit us at various points in the future as well. So certainly something that's very of keen interest at the moment to the company and to the board.
Yeah, great. And I mean, so focusing on the world of ESG investing, first of all, I mean, you know, particularly in 2021, ESG funds seem to experience a real bull run. But more recently, the tide seems to have turned for them a bit. Would you agree with that? And why, if you could put that down to a few things, you know, why would you say that is? Why has that tide turned more recently?
Well, two words, oil and gas, I would say. Those are two assets that don't really sit very comfortably within the world of SFDR and environmental policy, and obviously they've seen sharp increases in dividends and consequently the share prices of oil and gas companies have gone through the roof. Now, if you're sat in a fund which has excluded those types of assets, then clearly, you've missed out on a bounce, and the Ukraine invasion has probably impacted you in many other ways. So, for example, all the assets that have tumbled as a part of widespread unrest among investment markets. So, I think that's the key. Really, is that.
Do you think this was always going to happen to the world of ESG investments at some point? Was the tide going to turn at some point? Obviously, factors like the Ukrainian invasion were shocking and not something that was always anticipated. But in terms of the kind of bull run that those investments had, was it going to end at some point? What do you think?
I think to an extent, yes. You could argue that many of those assets were overvalued anyway. And take another example of tech stocks. Obviously had an extraordinary explosion in value during the pandemic, which was never going to be a forever thing. So companies like Zoom and Microsoft, you know, who've really taken advantage of the kind of remote working. Now, as we start to return to offices, people still use those technologies, but the growth in those types of assets is nowhere near as stellar. Netflix as well now, obviously they've got the double whammy of people having less spare time as they go back to the offices, but also, with the cost of living crisis now coming in people are looking to cut discretionary spend. So, let's be honest, the markets are cyclical, and ESG aligned investments are never going to be the top performers all the time. I think if you look back over performance history, then ESG has performed well over some periods of market and less well over other other kind of periods. So just like any other asset, any of the other fund, really.
Yeah, I see. It's interesting that link you draw between tech stocks and ESG funds, because we wrote an article a couple of months ago, basically based on some research that showed that four of the FANG stocks, some of the biggest mega cap tech companies in the US they're the stocks that are held most in ESG funds globally. And it was interesting because it really highlighted that the two are very intertwined, this tech world and the ESG world.
Indeed. I mean, obviously, tech stocks will argue that they have a low physical footprint. People can work from home a lot more. You can run servers and mass server stations using solar power in parts of the world. They can claim to have a lower energy footprint, for example. So, probably as well, many of them looking at social aspects and governance aspects as well perform pretty well compared to the wider market.
Yeah, and have the resource to kind of focus on those elements of their businesses as well, quite in depth, presumably.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, you could argue that some of them may be less than others. We talk about the Facebook scandals and the politicisation, the Cambridge Analytics scandal recently. There are still question marks hanging over it.
Are you able to sort of expand a bit more on the Cambridge Analytics scandal, just for our listeners who don't really know about it?
Well, this was when Facebook was found to be colluding with a company called Cambridge Analytica that was thought to be involved in political manipulation ahead of certain key election votes, so the Trump vote and the Brexit vote, for example. So sort of concerns that there was political meddling, really, by a social media company, algorithms that were potentially driving certain news stories to users of the sites and distorting people's opinions, or amplifying negative opinions and so on. So yeah, that was quite a big story at the time.
Yeah, it's a really interesting example, and one I think that kind of exemplifies a wider issue, which is that, since ESG funds have become so popular, there have been a lot of, I guess we want to call them exposés of, companies that are held in ESG funds, maybe not necessarily, displaying kind of these values and those values that they purport to be aligned with. And on that note, John, I did want to ask your opinion on something. Do you think some advisors and investors, part of the reason they could have lost interest in ESG a little bit more this year, if we're talking about outflows and the dwindling performance, have some of them become more aware of greenwashing more recently and become a little bit disenchanted with ESG?
I don't know if it's necessarily that so much as our customers needing money back. If you find yourselves in financial straits suddenly, your energy bill's doubled. You could argue that some of that outflow has been related to that. Clearly, if you see your funds declining the unit price is declining in your key investments, then some people are going to question whether they're on the right strategy. Should they really be invested now in some oil and gas companies to and take advantage of the bonanza that's happening in those stocks at the minute and the high dividends? It's a complex question, really. I don't Yes, of course. There is probably a bit more awareness of greenwashing. I don't think that's helped by the SFDR regulations now class gas and nuclear air stocks as transition stocks. Now that puts a bit of a shadow over people who've got a kind of a really clear view, perhaps that gas is not the future. And don't want to be invested in gas. There are still Article 9 funds that are aligned to that and don't invest in gas, for example. But I think it's not been the key focus for investors. I think capital preservation perhaps has become more key at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. I see. And so if we go back to kind of when this bull run began, you know, again, broadly speaking, if we're talking kind of beginning of 2021, end of 2020, what would you say was if there was one main driver behind that, was it investor interest? Was it the asset managers coming out with the products? Was it impending regulatory requirements? What do you think?
I think there's, to an extent, there's institutional funds and pension fund investors have had to align more to, net zero 2050. So obviously regulation has driven some of that pension fund investing towards green aligned funds, for example, and certainly TCFD in the UK. That's one aspect. I think some advisors have been focusing on ESG credentials a bit more. The MiFID regulations, looking at that has probably just created that focus in advisors' minds. Obviously, it's been a lot in the financial press. Certainly, Citywire have been covering a lot of ESG. Articles yourself, so it's in people's minds. I think at the minute there's probably a little bit less focus on ESG as a topic, as other other aspects sort of come into play.
I mean, I wonder if, and thinking about the ones that have been kind of more successful, I wonder if, as you say, those are the ones that are being the most clear about how exactly they interpret ESG, whether the focus is on exclusions or engagement, or, it's a purely impact-driven fund, because it's, as you say, it's that looking under the bonnet that's complicated.
Sure, yeah. Now, I think there are certain fund managers who have outlined a clearer strategy. It was interesting that BlackRock sort of rode back a little bit from their climate commitments. I think it was earlier this year, citing that a lot of the investor, the shareholder votes, proposals had were going a little bit too far or too fast for companies to cater for now, and you can argue that a fund manager has to protect the long-term interests of its investors and has to look at long-term returns if they're looking to. If individual shareholders are looking to push a transition too quickly, it involves a lot of investment by those companies without necessarily an instant return I don't know whether the likes of BlackRock have suffered as a result of a sort of change of emphasis, or whether they've just been using that as an excuse to sort of rebalance towards more of the growth companies now, oil and gas and so on.
Yeah. It's interesting, as you say. I guess the focus has just been, slightly more on sort of other things this year, hasn't it? And other kind of investing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you could argue energy security. Is a is quite key. And in the short term, perhaps oil and gas is a way to secure that.
John, I'd love to kind of look ahead, look forward to the future of ESG investing. Big question, but will momentum behind ESG, as in the momentum that there was before 2022, pick up again? And what do you think needs to happen for that to occur?
ESG will come back into the spotlight. I suspect that it will be more driven by a return to growth of ESG focused stocks. In the long term, I think it has to. It really has to. You know, we hear, and this year's been, it's been the driest, hottest summer ever in across the UK and Europe with droughts. We've got the worst ever floods in Pakistan happening right now, affecting a huge tranche of the population there. I read a story just this week around the Greenland ice cap. Scientists have predicted that there'll be a minimum 27 centimetre sea rise already baked in with the carbon that's already been emitted, from the melting of the Greenland ice caps. And that's a minimum. It could be almost a metre. So, I think we're getting more and more stories like this that will drive the agenda if people can connect the things that are happening around us now with our power to change the world by investing, then the future is positive. On the other hand, you've got Texas and Florida effectively banning public sector pension schemes from investing in ESG stocks. If we get a Trump government, who knows, that could get much, much worse.
Something that we have seen in the US is financial firms are actually being penalised for greenwashing, essentially. And it's not something we've seen as much in terms of the regulator holding firms account and penalising them here. But that action is interesting in the US because you mentioned, Trump possibly being elected president again in a few years. Is that the kind of thing you could see him reversing?
I think what's happening already in Texas and Florida. So Texas have put in a ruling to make sure investment firms must permit investment in oil and gas companies. In order to access the market for the state pension schemes, and in Florida, the ruling's slightly different in that they've inserted a ruling that public sector pension schemes are not allowed to select their investments by ESG factors, which is, well, in many ways you think, well, how else are they supposed to choose their investments, because it's all about risk, isn't it? Investing is all about risk, but they've been told to invest only using pecuniary factors. So there are ways around that. You could say you're investing in assets for one reason and still take into account those ESG factors under the bonnet. But I think what they're trying to achieve is less political meddling with the system and less social engineering by fund managers, if you like. So that's, but clearly it's all about the policies, the firm's policies against investing in fossil fuels. I think these policies in those two states, I think West Virginia is also looking at those sort of things, is indicative of the sort of policy that you could expect Trump to implement nationwide, should he get in again, and possibly other Republican candidates if it weren't Trump. So, there's a danger that becomes federal law, not just state law.
And it's interesting because I suppose there's one argument to this to say, oh, you know, that's kind of discouraging ESG investing. So it's these policies aren't a good thing. But at the same time, what these states are implementing, in some ways, it seems to align with, you know, asset managers who talk about engagement and how engagement is the best way forward if we're talking about ESG investing, because they could argue that by investing an ESG fund into some of the biggest oil and gas majors, they have influence to kind of shape the path that those companies are on in terms of, you know, renewables production and things like that.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it does mean that if a fund manager wants to produce a fund which is compatible with both SFDR and UK regulations in TCFD and across the states, they're going to need to very carefully word their investment policies to ensure that it's quite clear it's about engagement. And there's nothing in the regulations anywhere that say you can't invest in those assets, mm-hmm. you know, with an engagement policy, with a transition plan in mind. I think we're less far apart in Europe and America than we maybe think we are. So going back to that SFDR point, an inclusion of gas as a transition material, for example, transition energy source, you know, that's that aligns with the US approach to engagement rather than exclusion. But you know, it does mean that there'll be some investors who are who prefer exclusion to engagement will be underserved perhaps in some markets. You know, and we've probably all read about the ExxonMobil and their antipathy towards doing anything towards climate alignment or divesting or, you know, moving away from their commitment to oil.
I'm thinking of Shell, actually, who said they were increasing their fossil fuel gas operations. They're actually going to increase it by 2030, but they were still on the net zero path by 2050. So that's not ExxonMobil, but I guess, yeah, just another example of these companies, you know, what some people might call a little U-turn that they're doing. So it's an interesting one. John, a final question on kind of ESG investment products of the future, because we've talked a lot about these funds that are kind of have an engagement focus or have an exclusions focused and tend to be, I suppose, the kind of default ESG funds. You know, they are the most common ones. What about these so-called kind of impact funds where the impact of the investments is like as important or more important than the financial outcomes? I mean, you know, do you see them becoming more popular or less popular?
The question is, you know, is there a demographic split in this? Are younger generations more interested in impact because they can see down the track what happens if we don't all invest in positive things, positive change? You know, and will that change as the younger generation gets older, and will financial considerations once again trump the environmental and other sort of forward thinking aspects of investing? I don't know. I mean, I know circa 5,000. There are kind of an online and app based investor, and they're currently very much impact focused. I believe they're working on a set of their own impact based ETFs. That would be interesting if we get more of those type of ETFs, which are obviously indexed around impact rather than just SRI or ESG factors, which are much more open to interpretation. I think if there has to be a positive impact, then, you know, are there enough indexes that align to that? I think there will be more products emerging that focus on low cost impact investing. And if you can get a low cost impact investment, then that that succeed in the long term, well, why not? Why wouldn't you invest in it?
That's interesting. And have you, from what you've seen, are ESG funds and I suppose more impact focused funds traditionally more expensive products in the market?
With impact funds, I think you tend to find them more often than not are active funds. So, you know, just because there's more scrutiny involved and so on. So, yeah, I think generally at the minute they do tend to be more expensive. No index is going to be perfect, obviously, but with a large enough fund manager with the resources to do that research, and create an index or a large enough index provider that can create that and do the research, then it should be possible to produce a relatively cheap fund for producing impact driven returns.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it's a really interesting development, really, really interesting development. A final question, John, to wrap up the conversation. As we've spoken about, financial services firms and people in financial services have kind of really, even more so this year, had to focus on the financial outcomes of their clients' investments. Whilst a lot of these firms too, you know, have committed to certain ESG related goals and they are focusing on that, how do firms kind of balance these priorities?
Ultimately, the financial plan is the ultimate driver. Investing is a long term game, so ESG or not ESG is a bit of a side issue in that respect. Controversially enough, I think I believe that investing sustainably is the future, and will pay off in the long run. But other advisors will have a different opinion. I think work to the plan, work to sort of help the customer succeed with their investments has to be the priority, and work to align to the client's preferences in terms of their ESG preferences is something that has to happen too.
With the firms and the clients that you work with, how have you kind of found them? What have they been doing to kind of position ESG in their, in terms of their products, in terms of their business models, sort of more recently?
We haven't seen so much focus on that. I think there's been a lot more focus on product launches and where the market's going more broadly. For example, in my world, there's been a renewed interest in annuities for the retirement world. So, with interest rates going up, then suddenly it looks like annuities might be a more viable alternative. So, there's developments have been in that area. I think there have been the bulk of the big announcements on ESG alignment really were from last year when the big firms were kind of aligning their policies to a 2050 or earlier kind of goal. I think their focus this year has been complying with the regulation for TCFD and with making things better on their reporting side. There's a lot of investment in better data for the underlying investments in those holdings. So to make sure that you've got a proper look through, ultimately data is key really, in order to make sure you can evidence that something really is sustainable, that you have engaged correctly. Those are the sort of things, the unsexy type of work that's going on right now, to make sure those investments really are ESG compliant. I think that's what we've seen really.
Yeah. And a really interesting space to watch, definitely. John, that's about all we have time for today. So thank you very, very much again for joining us on the podcast. Again, I should say, it's your second time. And Thank you very much to everyone for listening. If you'd like to get in contact about this episode, you can email me. I'm nblackburn@citywire.co.uk. Or you can reach out on Twitter. We're at New Model Advisor. Thanks very much again, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
This CityWire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies, from healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution. Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.